Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
How's it hanging out there, everybody? It is Wednesday, April 30th, the final day in April. Tomorrow will be May 1st. We're getting closer to some Saints rookie minicamp next week and also organized team activities. Lots going on still, though. We're going to be talking plenty of Bayou Bengals baseball. Big win last night and a big series coming up at Texas A&M starting this Friday. But before we get into some baseball talk, in basketball news, the NBA has announced that the league's most improved player for this past season goes to former New Orleans Pelicans first-round pick Dyson Daniels. So, little golf claps to Dyson's. Congrats to him out there. Like you were talking to me, though, off-air, Charlie, a bit. Still needs to get vastly better in the scoring range, yeah. But definitely a prime-time defensive player.
Yeah, I'll be civil.
Yeah,
I'll
exactly.
Give him a pat on the back. Congratulations, Dyson Daniels. I'm not salty. He won it by a landslide. Steve,
right.
Like I had no idea. I thought the buzz was about Cade Cunningham, and it was like people would kind of complain about, oh, Cade was the number one overall pick. He's supposed to be elite, which he is right now. Dyson Daniels, don't get me wrong. Like the great barrier thief nickname is elite. And the amount of steals that he accrued this year was incredible. It felt like he's still the same player, though, Steve. Like maybe he developed a little bit defensively, and he had the steals will say that.
Right.
In an enhanced role, the minutes were what really shot through the roof in Atlanta. And that's why you see his increased points per game and rebounds per game. He's deserving of the award. Don't get me wrong, but just watching him play, is he really developed offensively at all? Steve, there's plays that you watch with Atlanta and with Dyson Daniels where it feels like he's the same player on offense where he doesn't want to touch the ball and like he doesn't want to shoot. And when he's driving, he keeps his head down. It's just like he's still kind of rudimentary on offense. And once again, not taking anything away from him, but it's really the defensive side of the ball that's where he got this.
Where he thrives, right.
It's not like this dude made a legit all-star jump or anything like that. And I sound like a hater, and maybe I kind of am hating a little bit. But congrats to Dyson for winning the award. He won it over Zubac from the Clippers, who came in second place. Cunningham came in third.
Right.
Which, you know, once again, I think it goes back to what I had just said that, you know, people didn't want to give him the award because he's a number one overall pick and he's supposed to be a superstar, but he really did make that superstar jump. And I think if I was voting on this award, I would have given it to Cade just because of the jump that Detroit made, where they were, you know, a 15-ish win team
last
year. That's
a good point there.
And now they're in the playoffs and they're battling toe to toe with the Knicks and they're going to a game six in the first round. They've won their first playoff games in basically 15 years. Under Cade Cunningham. So, you know, Atlanta didn't even make the postseason.
No, and like I said, Dyson Daniels, former Pelican, was the eighth overall pick in the NBA draft for the Pels.
They made the play-in tournament, but they lost in the play-in tournament. They I think, lost to Miami. So they dropped out of the play-in tournament. They didn't make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference.
Playoffs.
Yeah, so once again, Dyson picked up 44 first-place votes in this poll, 36 second-place votes, and 4 third-place votes. So
he averaged an NBA high 3 steals a game.
No, listen. I mean, once again, the great barrier thief nickname is elite. It's fantastic. So, Yeah, 14.1 points per game for Dyson, which if you had to ask me, I think it would have been a little bit lower than that, so good for him. 5.9 rebounds per game and 3 steals per game. Congratulations to Dyson Daniels.
Talking about some former Pelicans making some noise, also with the Golden State Warriors now. I don't know. I enjoy seeing Buddy Hield, and I still root for him. And he's been a key part for the Warriors right now, although I know it's really been all Steph over there. But like I said, it is nice seeing still Buddy Hield having some contributions for Golden State.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's kind of taken the Clay role a little bit.
Right.
Like Clay Thompson moved on and went to Dallas. He's kind of playing that role a little bit for them with Brandon Pajemski. Steph Curry's doing a carry job of that Warriors team. I mean, Jimmy came back for game 4, and Jimmy Butler had a really strong game 4 performance when he's not 100%. But looking back at like the game 3 that Golden State won, Curry was the only one doing anything, Steve. And so we'll see how far he can carry him. The Western Conference playoff picture is fascinating to me because at this point you're looking at a lot of seeds, or the bottom half of the bracket is being won by the lower seeds. Like the 6-seeded Minnesota Timberwolves are up 3-1 against the 3-seeded Lakers, and the 7-seeded Golden State Warriors up 3-1 against the 2-seeded Houston Rockets, which Houston looks like a paper tiger at this point, and they're not ready for the limelight by any stretch of the imagination.
We'll see tonight at 6:30. It's about to tip off.
And like you were thinking, okay, maybe can the Clippers be the third lower seed to potentially take down the higher seed? I know it's a 5-4, so it's not that big of a difference. But Denver, with a great game last night, and they take control. They're up 3-2 in that best of 7 series. So the West is fun, man. It's great basketball every single night.
Yeah, we got Golden State at Houston tonight. That game will tip off at 6:30 with the Warriors leading 3-1 and the T-Wolves, baby, up 3-1 over the Lakers. It's at L.A. this evening. A 9 p.m. start there. We'll definitely be tuned into that matchup tonight.
Do you think either of them get to 6? I think Golden State closes out tonight in 5.
Yeah, I believe more in the Lakers extending it right now than the Rockets.
I've got the thing about the Lakers, though, and this was talked about with J.J. Redick and what he decided to do with that game 4, because it was super important. Like, you don't want to go down 3-1 in a best-of-7 series. It's a death knell. But, so to do that, J.J. played his starters, or he played the same starting 5 for the entire second half. Not a single one of them got a break, and they still lost that game. Just like, oh, well, what do we do now? Like, you're in a bad spot. You're down 3-1. Yes, you're back at home for game 5.
Right.
But even if you can get past game 5, you go to Minnesota for game 6 and, like, win or go home.
No, that's why tonight, though, in L.A. with backs up against the wall situation, I kind of have to believe in LeBron and Luka.
Okay. Yeah, no, I can see that. But I'm right there with you. I think the Rockets don't have enough offensively. Jalen Green's been one of the – and we'll talk with Nick Friedell more about this tomorrow when we get him on, breaking down the postseason. Is there a more disappointing player in this playoffs than Jalen Green? Like, he's been a no-show. He had one game where he popped off for 30 points and Houston won that game. You know, the correlation's there. The other 3 games in the series, he's been a ghost. Like, Alperen Şengün did all he could in the game 4 when they were facing a 3-1 deficit. You know, Şengün wasn't enough to get him over the line. They just don't have enough right now. And that's why, you know, now that Giannis and the Bucks are out and everyone's going to be talking about where is Giannis going to end up, because Milwaukee just needs to blow it up at this point. Houston's going to be one of those teams that comes up a lot. They have plenty of assets to trade, and we'll see who they end up moving on from this offseason to potentially go get someone like Giannis in the building.
Yeah, so far the biggest disappointment, I guess I would say, Charlie, is the fact that the Memphis Grizzlies didn't even put up a fight against the OKC Thunder, swept them right out of the first round.
Yeah, the 1-8 matchups were a little bit underwhelming, let's say. But I think that also just shows how good Cleveland and OKC were as well. I think as far as, you know, I had picked Golden State to beat Houston because you're kind of going with the experience, the guys that have been there, done that before, versus the younger team that hasn't really been on the dance floor yet. And just give me kind of the underdog there with the experience. They're probably the more disappointing team for me. But, you know, the Eastern Conference has also been full of kind of random stuff with Detroit taking New York to 6 at least. And then also, who's the 2-7 matchup? Oh, yeah, Boston cruising. So, yeah, there's been some fun storylines to follow. But for me, the most disappointing team has definitely been that 2-seeded Houston squad.
Like I said, we'll get into it a lot more tomorrow. Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell, definitely one of our favorites on the program, will be joining us at 6:25. When we take the break, we'll be back with one of our favorites for college baseball. Todd Walker, former LSU Tiger and SEC Network baseball analyst, will join us to help break down the Bayou Bengals and more around the SEC right after this. Stay tuned on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back into Sports Talk here with Steve Geller, Charlie Long. Happy to welcome in now SEC royalty and SEC Network baseball analyst joining us, Todd Walker, to the radio huddle. Todd, how you doing today, man?
Hey, guys. Great. How's it going?
Doing well. Gearing up for another great weekend of SEC baseball. The Tigers traveling to College Station. Before we get into that matchup, though, curious on some of your thoughts around the rest of the league. Obviously, starting with number one, it'll be Texas, and I know they've got a matchup this weekend. That's a tough, you know, top-tier tussle for them as well, and just what you've seen out of this Texas team and how they've been able to stay atop the standings.
Well, it starts with pitching. Baseball is all pitching. Like, Florida's an example. In 2017, they hit .258 as a team and won the national championship. So you don't have to bang out 20 hits, 15 hits to win a baseball game, but you have to hold the other team down. They always talk about pitching and defense, but I played behind Pedro Martinez when he struck out 18, you know? So when you get the pitching, the defense is easy, and you pop a few around, you know, get some timely hits, and you win the baseball game. So it's all pitching. Texas has it. Although they've lost their number two, or I guess they might consider him a number one-ish, Jared Spencer's out, so they've lost a big piece of that puzzle. But and they hit well enough. They're not overly talented offensively, but they do exactly what I just said. So Texas is pretty strong. And what they're doing within the best conference of college baseball right now, pretty incredible. What are they, 19-2?
Yep, 19-2.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. It's just not that easy, and they're just making it look easy.
It's Coach Jim Schlossnagel's fantastic, isn't he? Like, when you have all these like games that are within one run and Texas keeps squeaking them out, this past weekend was a perfect example against a red-hot Texas A&M team, which we'll preview here in a little bit, but they take all three games by one run. I mean, they just find a way to win these tight contests, and they always pull it out at the very end.
Yeah, I mean, they say a one-run, you know, winning one-run games is a sign of a great team, and you're, that's a great point. I mean, Texas did it three times in a row against A&M. I do like Jim Schlossnagel. I don't like how it went down last year at the College World Series, you know, with him transferring over and, you know, blaming a lot of other people for even asking the question that he would go to Texas. The next morning, he's there. I didn't love that, but you can't help but notice what he does. I mean, he took TCU to Omaha 4 years in a row. I don't know what that was, 14 through 18, something like that. TCU. And keep in mind, they hadn't been around other than when Schlossnagel was there. So he's undeniably, he makes a difference. His offenses see a lot of pitches, which I've always said, you know, as a hitter, the more you see a pitch, the more it becomes a hitter's advantage. He understands that. And so he makes offenses better than they probably would be otherwise. But again, he knows how to coach. And he immediately made the Texas Longhorns a better team.
The matchup that the Longhorns are going to have to face at Arkansas, definitely no slouch there. What have you seen from this Hogs team all around?
Now they do bash the ball around. They're very special offensively. I think at one point, if they still don't already, of the top 10 hitters again in the SEC, best baseball conference in college baseball, they have four of them. Four of the top 10 hitters are from Arkansas. The Aloy brothers are just overly talented. Vahiba, the shortstop, is going to be a high draft pick. He's ridiculously good. Kojul, the transfers in that they have with the Canadian out in the outfield. I'm drawing a blank now, but they've got four really legit hitters. And, you know, I got Zach Root, the ace that transferred in. Vital Shees was Ohio State's Friday night guy that's over there. They got Gage Wood back from injury. They're going to try to slowly put him in the rotation, but he's a real big piece of that puzzle. Parker Coyle's supposed to come back, so they're starting to get their injured players back. But Arkansas bashes the ball around, especially in Fayetteville. Like, if they play at home, A&M beat them 2 out of 3 in Fayetteville, but that's very highly unusual. You don't beat Arkansas in Fayetteville, and that's why I think it's important for every team, but especially Arkansas and a team like Georgia, to host not only a regional but a super regional. So you have to be top 8 national seed to get that thing done to be able to host a regional and a super regional. So I think Arkansas is just overly talented offensively, but they've got some arms too.
Todd, let's talk about Texas A&M, LSU's next opponent here, going to College Station at Blue Bell Park. A&M's had a weird season. I talked about it in the Sports Flash that they start out as the number one preseason team in the country, bring back a ton of talent from the team that made it to the National Championship Series last year at Omaha, and then they get off to a 1-9 start in SEC play. They lose Gavin Grechovac, their star third baseman. But then there's this doubleheader that they have at Tennessee, and they just slug the ball out of the park consistently. And then all of a sudden they get red hot, and they win 10 of 11 games. And this is leading into, you know, the Texas sweep that we had just talked about there. But you take out 2 or 3 from Tennessee on the road and then 2 or 3 from Arkansas on the road, and all of a sudden this is the team that looked like the number one preseason team. They got red hot. I know they dropped 3 straight to Texas, but they're playing some good ball right now.
Yeah, 3 one-run games in Austin. I mean, that's not anything to hold your head down about. Somebody liked them for a reason at the beginning of the year, and it was because they, mainly on the pitching staff, they brought back Prager, Justin Lampkin. I remember a few years ago as a freshman in the SEC tournament through seven innings against South Carolina, I think only gave up the one hit. So when I watched that, I'm like, all right, this Lampkin kid can pitch. And then they've got some other pieces of that, the bullpen. Brad Rudess can throw 100 miles an hour, you know. So, but aside from that, Jay Slavulet's going to be a top 10 pick. He was hitting .220 for about the first 20 games. So that offense without Grechovac, like you mentioned, who hit 23 home runs last year, I think, that's a big loss. But nobody was hitting. And then all of a sudden, when Jace LaViolette got hot, now I think he's up to 315. He's hitting some homers, 15, 16 home runs right now for Jace LaViolette. The rest of the offense got hot. And so LSU's catching them at a wrong time. Like, you would have loved to have caught Florida and Texas A&M at the beginning of the year. So the schedules mattered, you know, like when you catch somebody. A&M's still playing really well. And although they got swept at Texas, again, those were pretty close games. And I still think A&M's playing as good as anybody in the country.
Todd, Mike Dottiglia and I were talking about this earlier. This series is also crucial for Texas A&M because you dropped all three games to Texas. You're 8-13 in SEC play. And we had talked about this last year with LSU, that if you can get to like the 13-win mark in conference play, you should be able to get into like the regionals and the postseason. With Texas A&M, you have this weekend series against LSU at home. Then you host Missouri, and Missouri's 0-21 in SEC play. So I don't want to overlook any team in the SEC, but you're kind of potentially counting three wins there. And then you're just playing the numbers game because at the end of the season, you go to Georgia. And Georgia's had a good team all season. Like, they're 12-9 in SEC play. They're right up there with Alabama, just behind like the Tennessees and LSUs and Arkansas's of the world. So you want to get this done at home, I would think, to make it to that 8-13 in the SEC.
Well, it's a good pinpoint. 13 wins within the schedule of the regular season, 30 games. But what people can't answer for you is, do SEC tournament wins count? I think they do. Just watching it over the last few years. So, in other words, a perfect example, let's say you walk into the SEC tournament with 12 wins, which I want to say LSU had. If they didn't have 12, they had 13. They were right on the number. And, of course, they make a run at the tournament all the way to the final, lost to Tennessee, so LSU got in. But my example would be, if you got 12 wins and you go to the SEC tournament and you win a game, or maybe even two, I think you're in the SEC. But the 13 is the magic number. The thing people won't answer for you is whether or not SEC tournament wins count. But you are playing an SEC opponent. So my belief, having watched it, is that they do count. So last year we had a record 11 teams into the field of 64 out of the 14 that were in the SEC. This year, with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma, I think you're going to see 12 or 13 teams from the conference into the field of 64. And a lot will be because, you know, they changed the format of the SEC tournament. Now it's single elimination. All 16 teams go. Anything can happen in one baseball game. But I think you're going to see a lot of fringe teams that need that first win in the SEC tournament in a few weeks in order to get in. But I think you're still going to see 12 or 13 teams.
On the line here is on WWL SEC Network baseball analyst Todd Walker joining us. And looking at this Bayou Bengals team, so much talent up and down the roster. We know that. A kid that's been just producing all season long, and it's hard to come up with the definition or how to explain what Derek Curiel's been doing all season long. Just curious, and you look at his game and see what he's been able to do so far this year. Is there any player comparison that comes to mind for you when you see Derek Curiel's game and what he's capable of?
Not really, because he's a left-handed bat, you know, and there are some good left-handed bats in the league. I think for Curiel, I mean, he's a 400 college hitter. I mean, he's 370 whatever right now, but I think you're going to see him, you know, over the next few years really have a lot of confidence, and then just really, really, you know, that average is going to skyrocket. They're saying that, you know, he's got to gain some weight, 15 pounds, let's say, and then he's going to be popping more home runs. He doesn't run. Although he can go get it in the outfield, he doesn't steal a lot of bags, which I think people would like to see him do more of. But he's a complete player. I've seen him hit two home runs the opposite field. Remember, he hit that one in Texas. So he can go the other way with pop. He was shut out after his 43-game on-base streak was ended on Saturday. He comes out Sunday and gets four hits. So it just shows you the kind of player he is. He sees a lot of pitches. I think we got this True Media stat thing, give you just about anything you want to know. He sees like 4.3 pitches per plate appearances, which is top, one of the tops in the league. And he doesn't strike out a lot. So what that means is he's got a great two-strike approach, good eye. He's not going to swing and miss a whole lot. But he's just, you know, he's just fun to watch. And especially in a leadoff spot of that talented offense for LSU. The concerns are that Jared Jones and Stephen Milam do not hit well within the conference. You know, I think in both cases they're 200 points difference between their average out of conference and their average in conference, including the pop. I mean, I think Jared Jones just hit his 12th home run out of the conference the other day, and he has three inside the conference, and Milam's pulling the same thing. So, yeah, so you worry about that a little bit. Michael Braswell, I think, starting to take over that third base job. They've tried a lot of people, including Jared Jones, over at third base, and now they're going to settle probably on Braswell as an everyday player, and it's good that he's starting to pick it up as well.
Todd, looking at LSU's pitching, you know, I thought Jay made a really interesting decision going to Cason Evans on Sunday against Tennessee this past weekend. When you lose game two the way that they did, and you know you don't have to use Evans out of the bullpen. And Jay talked after the game. He said, we'll see what happens. It's kind of late in the season that Cason, with how talented he is, he's going to be a Friday pitcher for LSU at some point in his time in Baton Rouge with the purple and gold. But your thoughts on the move to Cason Evans potentially being the Sunday starter? Because Jay also mentioned after the game that he would rather get six innings out of the kid with a 0-0 scoreline versus throwing him for two innings with a one-run lead late in the game.
They started messing with Chase Shores after he was their third, after, what, 5 or 6 weeks, and then they put Connor Ware in there Sunday or Saturday, whenever that third game was against Alabama, and Connor Ware went one time through the lineup. Then they bring Chase Shores in, and he didn't do extremely well. I think he lasted like 2 1/3 or whatever. And my thought was they didn't even have a Sunday starter last year. I mean, they went 2-10 or 2-8 out of those 10 games on the third game of a series during the conference. So I was thinking, man, what a luxury. And Chase Shores wasn't doing great. But, I mean, somebody you can depend on week in, week out. So when we start tinkering with that, I thought, wow. And then kind of where it goes one time through. And then this week, yeah, it was Cason Evans, and he's a bullpen guy. First start as a freshman, and he gives up 4 hits in the first 6 hitters of the game. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, you know, this tinkering is going to be tough to watch. And then it was almost like he morphed into himself. Like he got pulled in the first inning, the starter Cason Evans, and the bullpen Cason Evans came in and just dominated like he's been doing all year out of the pen. And now he's somebody you look at. But the problem is you haven't worked him up to 120 pitches, you know, that type of deal. So you're definitely going to need bullpen help when he starts a game. And he's not always going to be dominant. But you got to like what you saw on Sunday against Tennessee, because Tennessee can really bash the ball around. And Cason Evans, after the first inning, made him look silly.
Todd, always appreciate your time. Love your insights. It just sounds, everything you do reminds you of baseball. What game will you be at this weekend, Colin?
So I've got studio. So we do the SEC Now show Friday and Saturday, reruns Saturday morning and Sunday morning. If you don't stay up late enough to watch it on Friday night, we'll go after whatever game, you know. So we're in the studio till like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. That's this weekend. The next call I've got is in Lexington next weekend. I think Oklahoma goes to Kentucky. So I get to see Nick Mangione and that group. Remember, they made it to Omaha for the first time in the program's history last year. I don't think they got the firepower this year that they had last year, but still be a fun series. And then after that, man, we get rolling with the SEC tournament not too far away.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate the time as always, Todd. Thanks, and have a great one.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Todd.
Todd Walker, SEC Baseball Network analyst and former MLB and LSU infielder. Always great stuff from him. And like I said, it's just one of those voices I hear and just immediately makes me think baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. He's fantastic. And just going back to what we were saying, though, Steve, like Cason Evans potentially being your third rotational piece, if Jay decides to do that, right, and he takes a little bit away from the bullpen, because Cason has been that second lockdown piece out of the bullpen with Zach Cowan, like, but that three-man rotation, it's a three-headed monster that you have there with Cade Anderson and then Anthony Ianson and Cason Evans in that situation. That's kind of a sweet fruit that you would have to pass up if you leave him in the bullpen. So we'll see what they decide to do, though.
That and Walker also brought up the fact that we need Milam and Bear to wake up for SEC play, man.
Yeah, there's been some times where Jared's been in a slump. And Milam, too. I mean, that's a good point. It wasn't just
right.
Bear Jones. But, yeah, they've been in slumps at times. And I'm not really too worried about it, though, Steve. Like, once you get into the SEC tournament and then postseason play, I mean, is there anyone more clutch in the lineup than Steven Milam, that he's shown that in his early on in his LSU career? And then Bear Jones is just a pro hitter hitting in college. So, you know, once again, I'm not too concerned about it.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll hear some from Coach Jay Johnson right after this. So stay tuned after the break on WWL.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
We're back here on Sports Talk. I want to tell everybody tonight at 7, there's a News Nation Trump Town Hall. It's Trump Town Hall. President Trump on his first 100 days, moderated by Chris Cuomo from News Nation with Bill O'Reilly and Stephen A. Smith. I had to look that up, Charlie. Yes, the Stephen A. Smith is one of the moderators. Don't miss it tonight, 7 to 9 p.m. on WWLAMFM.com and the free Odyssey app.
I saw a tweet today. Stephen A. Smith is a recurring character on General Hospital. Did you know that?
No.
He's like a little tiny side character.
Hey, man, the more you can do, right?
He loves that show, apparently. It's a soap opera. And so he's like a recurring side character. And there's like this scene that was circulating on Twitter. It's just like, I didn't think I would see Stephen A. Smith shooting like a crooked nurse. Like there's this nurse that was trying to give this like drug to whatever patient, a comatose patient. And then Stephen A. Smith comes in and he's like some mobster. He plays a mob character in General Hospital. And he pulls out like this gun with like a pistol with like a silencer on it. He just shoots the nurse. It's crazy, man.
You can say what you want about Stephen A., but man, you know he's having fun.
Yeah, he's an entertainer for sure, but it is so funny that he is like a mob character in like a soap opera. It's just like a recurring bat character. I think it's hilarious.
Well, LSU baseball is always some good soap opera for us. Last night they had a big victory, taking down Southeastern 15-2, and the game started out with a bang for the Bayou Bengals, came out in the first inning, back-to-back home runs, Derek Curiel and Jared Jones going yard. The game ended dramatically in the seventh inning, walk-off fashion, run ruled them with a grand slam by Ethan Frye. And after the game, Coach Jay Johnson spoke with the media. And right off the bat, though, our Cokie Riley, who we talked to a lot from The Advocate and NOLA.com, asked Jay, what's up with the new hat he's wearing, figuring he's superstitious and why get a new one? But Coach Johnson explains what's up with the new hat he's sporting.
You know, literally my wife said it made me look like I was like 59 years old. And, you know, I'm getting a lot closer to 50, and it didn't sit well with me. So, yeah, just made a small adjustment. And we lost the last game against Alabama, you know, and not that that had anything to do with it, but man, for 34 games, we were playing so good. And like Ethan Frye said something to me, he's like, you cannot change your hat. And then, so I was kind of like, you know, when I got that quote / comment and then, you know, we had lost the game, I was like, okay, it's a good time to do it.
Yeah, good timing. After you lose a game, I didn't think the Tigers coach would be doing a switch while they were red hot because, I mean, it's just part of baseball. People are superstitious, man.
Yeah, poor Jay Johnson. His wife's telling him he's almost, not even like 11 years older. He's 48 right now. He hasn't even reached the 50 mark, and his wife's saying it makes him look like he's 59. Oof.
A guy that didn't get talked about, I feel enough, from last night's game, William Schmidt, the pitcher, ended up going 3 2/3 innings, gave up 2 earned runs, walked 1, striking out 7, Charlie. He was mowing him down for sure. Coach Jay Johnson talked about what Schmidt's been doing for this ball club and how impressed he's been with him.
Well, I think he's going to be really good. And, you know, the sign is, you know, we made a small adjustment, you know, yesterday. We met with him probably for about 2.5 hours between Coach Yeske and I. And got some stuff dialed in. Again, I'm not going to overly elaborate on that. But what I notice with my best players is that when you put something like it in front of them and then they go do it, that tells you how good they are. And William is going to be awesome. And, you know, we had told him a story. I actually told him I was on the opposing side of Coach Yeske had a pitcher in 2018 named Kevin Abel, you know, who – at this juncture, like William has had a more successful freshman season than this guy, Kevin Abel, but he kind of just kept going like this. Like he had a tough outing against us at Arizona, which like allowed us to win the series. But then after that, you know, Nate really stuck with him. And I think he beat Oregon on a Tuesday. And then it manifested itself to like in the postseason, like he carved up LSU in the regionals, carved up Vanderbilt in the super regionals, and I think he won like 4 games in Omaha. And my point was like, let's take some perspective here. Like, you're doing great. Like, I've told you guys, like, do a search. Have anybody done the search yet of Power 4 freshman pitchers with an ERA under 4 with this many innings and as many strikeouts? It's a very small list, you know. So he's doing fine, but we want to keep advancing him. I promised him that we would make him the best pitcher that we possibly could be when he decided to come to this route. And we feel like we have a little more sample size and data to be able to help him.
Coach Yeske's been developing young William Schmidt, and yeah, the returns have been good so far. I know you start seeing an ERA of 4.11, and it's a little inflated there, but pretty impressive numbers from the freshman. 30 2/3 innings, has 14 earned runs, walked 18, and struck out 38.
Yeah, I have the tweet here. I'm pulling it up. The comparison between William Schmidt and then also Kate Anderson's numbers in their freshman campaigns,
okay,
very, very similar. Like, the record's a little bit different. William Schmidt 7-0, Cade was 4-2, but 4.11 ERA for Schmidt, 4.35 for Cade, 14 appearances for Schmidt, 12 for Cade, 8 starts for Cade, 6 starts for Schmidt, and then the innings, hits, it's all really close. The one thing that Cade kind of has a little bit of an advantage on is 46 strikeouts to 38 for Schmidt, but it's still pretty tight. It's a good comparison.
Calling game last night, I mentioned Ethan Frye. He's been that guy for LSU. I feel come up big a lot for this team in some clutch moments. Coach Jay Johnson talked about a guy who hasn't been an everyday player for the Tigers.
I view him as a starter. Like, that's where I'm at with this thing. Like, I get asked about players who are, you know, in and out a little bit, and it's my job to put them in positions to be successful. But, like, I think he's one of the best hitters on our team. I think he's third on the team in batting average. I mean, we have a lot of guys that are, like, close between second and sixth, you know, which is awesome. That's usually when you have a good team.
Ethan Frye is batting .343. He's got 31 RBI, 8 home runs on the year. Big one last night. And, you know, for me, Charlie, I'm getting ready to do reports for the morning. And when he called game early on that 7, you know, the run rule victory, made me, you know, elated and overjoyed.
Yeah, get it over with. Get that run rule victory and send everybody home early. It's definitely nice.
We're getting ready for the Trump Town Hall coming up here on WWL. Stay tuned right after the break. We'll wrap things up on Sports Talk and then toss it to Trump right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Gearing up for the News Nation Trump Town Hall coming up 7 p.m. right here on WWLAMFM.com and the free Odyssey app. President Trump on his first 100 days, moderated by Chris Cuomo from News Nation with Bill O'Reilly and Stephen A. Smith. Don't miss it. It's going to be 7 to 9 tonight on WWL and, like I said, the free Odyssey app. Looking at some bad news in MLB today, Charlie. Mike Trout left the loss against the Mariners with knee soreness. Definitely the 33-year-old we know has been plagued with certain issues throughout his career.
Yeah, the best player of a generation starting to deteriorate, Steve. It's been the past couple of years now. I know the Angels got off to a decent start, but I think they've kind of fallen apart here recently, too. Like, the AL West, Seattle, if I'm remembering correctly, is in the lead right now, but Houston's right behind. And then it's like Oakland and Texas it's all pretty jumbled up. And then the Angels are just near the bottom. It feels bad.
They are at the bottom now, 12-17.
It feels bad that, you know, such a great talent has just been wasting away.
And will never see the postseason.
He has seen the postseason, but it was like early in his career.
Right.
He just wasted away on a bad organization.
Coming up with more sports talk tomorrow. We'll be talking about rookie minicamp coming up next week for the Saints. Plus, we'll preview LSU series against Texas A&M. Thanks for tuning in tonight, folks. Next up, Town Hall with President Trump. Stay tuned right here on WWL.